The Tennessee Star Report with Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. Michael Patrick Leahy here, 6:17 a.m. Friday, March 27th. On the line with us, our good friend, all-star panelist, public affairs specialist, excellent journalist, now public affairs specialist, Clint Brewer. Clint, you were talking about an article in the Tennessean where they interviewed small business owners and restaurant owners around Metro Nashville. What did you find in that article?
Well, it was actually, you know, employees of service industries from across the state. And I mean, it just kind of gets down to the reality, which is, you know, a lot of folks across this country, you know, they're two weeks away from being, you know, in default on their mortgages, unable to pay their rent. I mean, the point of which I think is we've got to be realistic about things like what Mr. Gates is suggesting, which is a nationwide lockdown in every state and every community. And we're just, we're a nation of 327 plus million people. You know, the entire population of Wuhan is 11 million. The province they're in is only about 58 million. Italy's entire population is about 60 million. So, I mean, these apples-to-apples comparisons to other countries and other cities across the world with this are not, they're just not apples-to-apples. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think it's exactly right. And the problem is, I mean, I think these lines are about to cross, the line of, you know, economic disaster versus public health crisis. And I think... Yeah, I think right now people are saying, okay, great. Yep, there are going to be... More people are going to die of this, but you cannot sacrifice the overall economic health of the country for one person, if it's one person. Now, the problem is it's not just one person. There will be deaths, and the question is we don't know how many. There's already been over 1,000. Most of those deaths, however, have been people over 65 and people with underlying medical conditions. Although I note that there are some very sad exceptions. I don't know if you saw this, Clint, but yesterday there was a report confirmed that a 17-year-old in New Orleans died of complications from coronavirus. We don't know if that person had underlying medical conditions, but that's, of course, a very sad situation. That's the first public report of somebody under 20 dying.
Well, yeah, and I mean the entire thing is as tragic as can be. I think though that, you know, there's this sort of false narrative out there that we're choosing between either, you know, Wall Street fat cats or people's lives. And really the issue is not the market or Wall Street. The issue is the average American who needs to pay their mortgage and their rent and needs to put food on the table and needs to, you know, take their truck to get it fixed. I mean, the reality of people on the ground is not the argument that's being had in Washington, D.C. or in the nation's major news entities about do we choose the health of the markets or do we choose people's lives? That's not really the discussion. It's really more about average Americans being able to get by and getting back to work.
Yeah. Did you watch the White House briefing from this Dr. Birx, B-I-R-X? She really seems to be very sharp, and she made many of the arguments that you're making here. I don't know if you watched that, but, you know, she's basically said, look, all of these doomsday models are based upon assumptions, which the data doesn't quite support at this point.
No, they don't. And it's not an extinction event. Right. And, I think we're doing the right things. I think that, the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies are moving as fast as they can. I mean, it doesn't get to be a pandemic unless it somewhat sneaks up on you as a country or as a planet. So I don't know that we should be too hard on ourselves, but we do need to move quickly and expeditiously, and we need to learn more about it. But we also don't need to be, you know, putting people out on the street. I mean, it doesn't do a lot of good to stay at home if you don't have a home to come back to. So,
you got to cover the four walls, right? You got to have a home. You got to be able to eat. You know, you got to be able to move around in a crisis. So here was something. Let me read this from the transcript last night. Dr. Burks said something that was interesting. You know, there's been all the dire predictions among the doomsayers that we're going to run out of ventilators. We're going to run out of ICU beds. And, of course, the epicenter now is New York City, which is, you know, the huge numbers there at the moment. Here's what she said. We were reassured in meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and they're still significant, over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. So, you know, to wake up in the morning and look at people talking about creating these, you know, do not resuscitate situations for patients, that's not the situation in the United States right now. She seems to be kind of firmly based on the facts, which is obviously she won't be invited to CNN.
Well, yeah, and I mean that's kind of part of the issue is that we seem to have different governors, the White House, the U.S. House. I mean, everybody seems to be choosing their version of this they want to work from, and that's really not in the best interest of the American people. And we need to deal with exactly what the facts are. We need to listen to the experts. I would not put Bill Gates in that category of expert, and we need to let our leaders make day-to-day decisions based on the data, which is evolving constantly.
I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, there's reports on this $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package that was passed unanimously by the Senate Wednesday night, and now apparently is under consideration in the House. They were going for a voice vote. But that's not going to happen now. And the reason it's not going to happen is because Republican congressman from Kentucky, Thomas Massie, has said, I object. And so now they're going to have a discussion and vote. What do you make of Congressman Massie's decision to force a recorded vote and more detailed debate on this?
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't know what the wisdom of that is. If there's more to give for the American people, they need to give it. If there's a reason for the delay that's going to help people, then let's help them. But let's move this thing along. Let's get it done. You know, we talked about this speed of light economic package, and we still don't have one.
We don't have one. Yeah, and I think that's sort of the point. There is a lot of junk in this bill. I think we all know that. But there are some good things in it. It's what the Senate has agreed to unanimously. I like Thomas Massie. And I'm not saying that in a perfect world what he's doing is wrong. But our world is moving rapidly. And, I would say that, you know, it's either this relatively bad bill, but a bill that moves things forward, or it's a delay of how long? A week, a month? I don't know. And can we afford the delay? That's my question. What do you think?
Well, and that's the thing. Let's be clear. This is not a stimulus bill. This is not to stimulate the economy. This is an economic triage bill. I mean, this is to keep people off the streets and in their homes. And so, you know, we're going to have to come back again and have an actual stimulus bill to get the economy moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just need to get this thing done. And you know, we had this moment where we had relaxed the partisan tensions and people seemed intent on working together, maybe when you and I were on the air a couple of weeks ago, and now we're right back to business as usual. And, you know, let's just get it done for folks.
Yeah, and I think Massey's argument is, well, we're getting something relatively bad done. I don't know. I'm sort of a mind that it's relatively bad, but this is moving so rapidly and we're in such danger of a complete economic collapse. Something that moves the ball forward, even though bad, is better than no action. That's my final thought. Are you in agreement or how do you
think? I'm in agreement. I mean, we're in the state where perfect is the enemy of good, and we need to get it done.
Well, Clint, when you're back on Monday, I promise you, all sorts of things will have changed, and it'll probably be worse before it gets better, but hey, we'll still be here. Clint Brewer, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And when we come back, the original all-star panelist, Crom Carmichael, joins us. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy, back after this.